Welcome, folks, to a brand new episode of the world's most interactive music podcast, Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em. The premise of the show is real simple. We're going to choose a record. We're going to listen to that record side A and side B. Before we press play or put down a needle, whatever it is you do, you're going to roll one, you're going to smoke it, you're going to listen to that side and come back and talk to us. We'll do the same thing again for side B. Now, for today's choice of record, I turn the microphone over to the Oracle of Oxford County, Mr. Jeremiah Charlton.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're listening to a band called Sandoz, and the album is Pay Attention. And if you actually know what Sandoz is, you should be paying attention right now, okay?
The name of the band is Sandoz. The name of the record is Pay Attention, S-A-N-D-O-Z. You can find it anywhere you find music.
What's the rules? What they got to do?
Well, this is a simple thing. You got to focus on what we're doing. Drop your phone down and sit with us and really go down. Now, we've talked about this before. Don't feel weak. Go down to the joint. Go down to the side. Do another joint. Go down that side, too, and join us. Smoke them if you got them.
Let's listen to side A.
Let's go there.
Smoke if you got them.
Sandoz, Pay Attention is the record we're listening to. Yo, you want to give some background to the people here?
So I found this looking for John Goodsell.
Okay.
Who's the guitar player for Brand X, the Phil Collins progressive rock group that he played in the 70s, besides, obviously, Genesis.
Yeah.
A lot of cool people played in that band, so...
Lots of really cool people played there.
I was looking up stuff with him, and so this was his first band. So I looked it up, and in the interview, he said he was like, "Oh, we were just trying to do our impersonation of like Captain Beefheart meets Grateful Dead."
Wow!
And here's something amazing. He's a teenager. He's 18 years old.
When this record is happening.
Lead singer and lead guitar player on that record is 18 years old.
Wow. And you know what? That description to the album is completely accurate. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's really cool because, like, this is a couple other bands we've had are, like, basically, like, homage bands in their own way. You know, we talked about the band, like, Archaea with Magma.
Yeah.
You know? And Moving Gelatin Plates type thing, too, you know? All these different bands that sort of like were younger.
And they're completely aware of their fandom, and it's a love letter to the bands and the artists that inspire them.
But with a high level of, playing, which a lot of
high level.
Teenagers don't have, like I said, you wouldn't think by his vocals or by the guitar playing he's 18 years old, right?
No, folks, if you have. Which I find that weird if you're listening to this podcast, you should go listen to it. But you know, it's whiskey shots and rusty nails. That's just what it is.
It's weirder than like an 18-year-old. Weirder than this, but you can see like they're trying to do like some like blues bass rhythms and then do some strange things on top of it, strange breaks. And what's interesting is he said he hadn't at the time they had no idea of like odd time signatures or like what that was. Right. They just were like trying to write quote unquote weird riffs.
But you know what though, the freshness of the concept, because maybe there wasn't any guidelines around, hey, we're trying to set out to do this technically. It sounds aggressive. It sounds punk rock.
Yeah. Which is why it sounds like the Beefheart too. Right.
Right. Right. What year was this album put down? Sandoz.
I think 70, 71.
Wow. Wow. So this is a short
71,
record.
I'm sorry, yeah.
We listened to two songs here on this A side, Applecore Machine and I Ain't Strong.
Yeah, no, this was never officially released. This was like, I guess they said there was 1,500 original copies of it.
Mm.
I don't see any of the original copies online at all for sale. This was like a reprint. 95, a CD company put this out.
And there's also a cassette reprint in 2012.
Yeah.
It's super limited. So this is beyond limited. Like, experimental, weird, quirky type of music that you really haven't heard before. Now, you want to fill in the nice folks listening to Smoke 'Em if you got them. Who's in this band?
The only one that's no, that's not true. Rick Parnell is the drummer, and he played in Atomic Rooster.
There you go.
Which was like a hard rock band, you know, like and that's how. And then John Goodsell.
And then Goodsell, obviously. Yeah.
He played in Atomic Rooster also. He got him in Atomic Rooster. So he was 19 playing with Atomic Rooster. This album, he's 18.
Wow.
Next year, he's in Atomic Rooster. And they were still famous at the time. So they were doing pretty big gigs, you know?
Yeah.
And then he got the gig with Phil Collins with Brand X.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's quite a step up from what we're talking about money wise, but man, this is such a interesting and different short record, you know? Yeah, it's interesting to see how many of the records that we've listened to, first of all, don't sound like young people behind the music, right? We've got a couple of bands that you're like, all right, yeah, these guys are 17, 18, but the music is so strong. And then you see what happens after these releases and it makes sense that they go on to be bigger names, right?
Yeah.
Folks, if you're just joining us, turn back and start the podcast over. But you're listening to the world's most interactive music podcast, Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em, and we're listening to Sandoz Pay Attention. Is it time to go to side B?
It's time. You felt it.
You want to give the folks some encouragement.
You got to roll up one more time. You got to step up and say, you know, I don't know. I'm pretty high right now. No. Do it for John Goodsell. He was 18.
Celebrate. There you go. Celebrate your own damn independence and John Goodsell's prowess here.
Yeah, he's trying. 18 years old, for God's sakes. Like,
he
like,
was
what
doing.
What do you think he was doing? The name of the band is Sandoz. You should be putting acid in your eyeballs at this point. Listen to this album, for God's sakes.
Well, folks, that's what I do. That's what I do. Let's go to side B.
Side B. Still strong, G. Side B still strong.
I got to kick off with this. Yo, this dude, the name of this track is Demigod. And this track is 13 minutes long. It's an attack on the senses. It feels all right. This record, like, when you make limited edition albums that are like hidden music history and shit like that, albums like this is why you do that. I love this track more than the side A. I really love this side.
Yeah, I liked them both. I don't know which one I liked better. That's tough. That's a tough one. But this is super strong, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
Very strong.
It feels like at certain points the jam almost gets away from them. Like, you know, they're just rolling on through. And, you know, this is a 13-minute jam. This is a very ambitious concept from people that didn't even know technically what they were doing. They were just doing it for the sake of doing it. And, man, it is very special. You know, it is very special. Did you have anything in particular that you liked in this area?
Well, you can get this cheaply right now online. This 95, it seems to be around $50 US. So
hey, that's not bad.
Get one from me, NG.
And these are all limited editions too, right?
Correct. Like, so limited edition numbered. Yeah.
Well, I mean, folks,
you just don't know about this album. This is, like I said, I came across this, like, this was not on a list that I came across or anything like that. This was just an interview by a guitar guy, because I'm a guitar nerd. So
I went around looking for a little bit more info on it, because for the first time, you know, with all the sources that we look up info here, including the Oracle, man, there's not a lot of information here. I mean, this is a really underground sort of hit.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
I just looked it up because
of his description, right? I was like, well, if it's anything like Beefheart, like, it's going to be cool, right? And automatically the drums on the track one, like, you heard it, he's going for it, you know, trying to be like Drumbo.
Oh, definitely Beefheart, like Sneakers in the Dryer drums, and we're trying to cling on to any sort of rhythm that happens more than once.
Now, we need to talk about one thing on this side too.
All right.
Can we talk about guitar tone.
Oh, I'm so happy you said that. I'm so happy you said that. Because
we need to have a talk with a lot of famous guitar people who are known for having good tone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, this is your world. Please go ahead and inspire the folks here, because it is a serious thing.
Well, you could put this up there. I'm not, again, I wouldn't say this is number one with a bullet, but if you said, hey, this is like the one of some of the best in terms of like heavy guitar tone, in terms of all chord wise, like when he crunches, and also when he plays the high single notes too, right? It sounds really big too. It doesn't lose any power.
I think so.
I'm sure he's using a Les Paul. I'm sure.
Oh,
of that.
For sure, Les Paul.
The Marshall Stack type thing, but he just had a really good sound going.
Yeah.
Somehow. Now Hendrix is dead, so like we can't disparage him. But I mean, his tone to me is as good as anyone's that you would sort of hear of the time. You know, maybe like some like Jeff Beck's might be better.
But he just sits in a different place, because this tone is warm and crisp.
It's right there, yeah.
It's right in your face. And we're talking, I mean, especially on the B side of this album, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of sound. There's really very little silent or low volume spots.
It's great, like Ritchie Blackmore from Deep Purple's same time period, his tone.
Yeah, the tone is so crunchy, so up in the front, it's almost recorded like mainline vocals. Now, usually these records that, you know, people didn't spend that much money making, they were recorded so terrible. Everything just sounds like paper thin or whatever. This really does not. The tone to this album for the guitar is just... I'm glad you said Hendrix, because you can feel the tinges of blues bass sound for Jimi Hendrix in all of this. But then the attack is different.
Oh, yeah. It's a little bit more metal.
Yeah, the attack, that's exactly it. But for 72, the type of metal that he's playing.
Yeah, 71.
Yeah, that's heavy. John Goodsell was building a mystery here that is really damn cool. You know, like we said, folks, this is a cheap album. This is a reprint. You know, the latest reprint of this album is on cassette. So if you want to talk about exclusivity and exclusive material, Sandoz is kind of the way to go. The label that put out the cassette version is called Acid Punks. There's very little information on this band, but there is a hell of a strong record here with Sandoz. Pay
cool attention. Art. Did you see the second, like there's the main one, but you see the other art where it was like for like the Grim Reaper?
So the artwork that I saw looks like a bunch of Mayan Indians in formation, like walking towards you with
that's on
bones
the,
and pay attention.
On the I think on the other side though, there's like an emblem, like a golden emblem. It says Sandoz in black, and it's like a Grim Reaper. But it's dope. It's really cool.
Oh, I gotta see that one. I was not able to see that one. The one that I'm looking at, the vinyl rip that I'm listening to here, has this, which at the same time is trippy as hell. Like what you were saying earlier, if you don't understand what Sandoz means, look that up, because you'll get what they're trying to go for here.
And this was totally self-funded by basically, like, these are high schoolers again. This is like their parents paid for, and they did like the recording at the local record studio in their hometown. They made it sound great. So,
wow.
Fuck you guys. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, there's really no reason for anybody to not do it. I'm stoked about this. I have found a version of it for $25 on vinyl that I think I'm going to put a bit in right now, because that's hard to find. Yeah, there you go. Shagrat Records, ENT-004. Check that shit out. Man, well, what do we have in store for this week, man? Like, where are we going?
Tomorrow we're going to... a band. We're going back to Germany.
Nice.
Germany just has so many good bands,
right? And so many different eras too.
So and different. So many different bands under that big genre of krautrock that don't sound anything like each other. So,
yeah. Where would you put Sandoz? I was trying to categorize, even though we don't like to do that here, I was trying to categorize Sandoz, and I felt more like it was like almost 1990s desert rock than prog or kraut. You know, but it's hard to classify.
Well, it's sort of psychedelic blues rock. It's a bit proggy, you know.
Yeah, it's got its moments.
It's got a little bit of prog in it. It's more psychedelic to me.
Yeah. Acid blues, maybe.
Psychedelic acid blues, sort of like 13th Floor Elevator, sort of.
But that's really as close as I can get it. I want to do something special for this episode because we're nearing episode number 20 of Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em, the world's most interactive music podcast. And I'm going to play, as we finish the show, I want to play one of the tunes here for the folks that that don't listen to the record when we do ask them to. I want to play, how do you say, I Ain't Strong? You feel good about that one?
Sure.
Well, we're going to walk out with I Ain't Strong, and I'm G. Jeremiah's over on the other side. We'll catch you tomorrow on Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em.
Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em.